Hello there. Welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Slaugberg here, and I'm so happy to have you here. Today, I will be speaking with an incredible guest. Her name is Dr. Lori Holman. Dr. Holman is a psychoanalyst with specialized clinical training in infant, parent, child, adolescent, and adult psychotherapy, a unique practice that covers the lifespan. She is particularly adept at helping parents and children relate well together in today's complex family environment. This sensibility helps each family member understand their own emotional experiences while simultaneously being receptive to the other's point of view. Dr. Holman's training in infant parent psychotherapy was done at the Annie Bergman Parent Infant Training Program in New York City, affiliated with the Institute for Psychoanalytic Training and Research and the Contemporary Freudian Society. She has worked with adolescent mothers and their babies, battered women and their babies, and mothers with autistic children and their babies, alcoholic mothers and their babies. She received specialized training in child and adolescent treatment at New York University. Her PhD dissertation in nine-year-old girls culminated in a new finding and major contribution to the psychology of this age group, focusing on troubling fantasies with which these children struggle. She was invited to join the faculty of New York University before graduating and taught clinical courses on listening to the unconscious fantasies, child psychotherapy, and understanding the artwork of children. Dr. Holman has studied with world-renowned figures such as psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Jacob Arlow, psychologist and child researcher Dr. Annie Bergman, and psychologist and infant researcher Dr. Beatrice Beebe. Dr. Holman is widely published on topics relevant to parents and children, such as juried articles and chapters in the International Psychoanalytic Study of the Child, the International Journal of Infant Observation, and the Inner World of the Mother. She wrote on subjects relevant to parents of divorce for the Family Law Review, a publication of the New York Bar Association. As a columnist for the Newsday Parent and Children magazine, and the Long Island Parent for almost a decade, she has written countless articles on parenting and child development. She writes biannual articles on mental illness for Long Island pediatricians, internists, and gynecologists, obstetricians, and for Long Island School, discussing issues relevant to educators and mental health counselors, including ADHD, the gifted child, depression, and anxiety in children and adolescents, and her latest book, Unlocking Parental Intelligence, Finding Meaning in Your Child's Behavior, is now undergoing the publishing process. Today, Dr. Holman and I are going to discuss parental intelligence, and I'd love to take this opportunity right now to welcome Dr. Lori Holman. Hello, Dr. Lori Holman. How are you doing?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. So I'm going to have a few questions to ask. Could you please share with listeners your concept of parental intelligence?
I'd be very happy to. Parental intelligence consists of understanding that there is meaning in your child's behavior. I have trouble with the phrase bad behavior because behavior is complex and it has meaning. Children aren't bad, in my view. They're complicated human beings. So if a child speaks or acts in a negative way, in my view, he or she is not a bad child, but a distressed child. This completely changes a parent's point of view and outlook on how to parent. When parents unlock their parental intelligence, they become what I call meaning makers. So parental intelligence is a concept I created when working with parents in my private practice who learned how to read nonverbal and verbal communication, finding meaning in the child's behavior and enjoying open dialogue. There are five steps that guide parents facing baffling behaviors and hard-to-reach children, including those with special needs. It's an approach that creates a new parenting life. Once the steps are inside of you, they guide you throughout your parenting life. So when parental intelligence is under your belt, you feel confident and what I call, or others have called, a good enough parent. Being good enough is a phrase that means being empathic and nurturing, reasonable, and a good listener. It's a concept from the 50s, actually, that was created by a pediatrician and psychoanalyst, Dr. Donald Winnicott, that was applied to mothers, but of course today fathers certainly can be included. it reassured empathic parents that they didn't have to know all the answers about their babies, but just had to be willing to listen for the baby's needs. That was what was called good enough. So parental intelligence helps parents do that kind of listening and understanding.
Okay. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. So I'm going to now ask you, would you explain to the listeners more about the first step of parental intelligence, stepping back, and could you also provide an example?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I think, in fact, the best way to learn about stepping back is with an example that you can read later on a blog post of mine that's called Bad Behavior in Good Kids, How Come? So I'm going to tell you about an identical twin I'll call Clive, who began hitting his twin brother, Ari, in kindergarten. Now, mm-hmm. Clive was a good kid. The teacher was surprised. She talks to him. He apologizes nicely, but he continues hitting. She tries a punishment of taking away the privilege of painting, his favorite activity, but that fails too. The hitting continues. The teacher talks with the parents, who admit that the hitting is happening at home too. So the parents decide, and the teacher's aware of it, that they're going to use parental intelligence. So stepping back means beginning the search for meaning behind the hitting. Stepping back means slowing down, pausing, taking no action with the child, and taking time to think and review the behavior. You go over what the child did, when he did it, looking for a sequence as you track the behavior. Most important is that you suspend judgment. As you accept that what happened is meaningful, it means suspending judgment not only about your child's behavior, but also about your parenting behavior. It takes mm-hmm. the parents off the hook and gives them a time to think. It gives you permission to not know what to do, to question your assumptions, and realize the situation isn't understood. Because after all, if you don't understand something, how in the world can you know what to do about it? You know, parents always think they have to jump to a conclusion and figure out what to do right away, but that actually doesn't make sense if you don't understand it. And when kids see their parents taking their time, it in itself has a calming effect on everyone.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
To Clive and Dad, stepping back led Clive's dad to realize quite a few things. He realized that the hitting began after he began taking long business trips. And so he wondered if that had anything to do with it. He also realized Clive hit his brother after Dad spent time with Ari, the twin, alone. After a bike ride with Ari, Clive hit Ari. After watching TV together alone, Clive hit Ari. So all that was learned just from stepping back, doing nothing, just thinking and stepping back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? That does make a lot of sense. Because I do see that if the parents do just take their time, I can see how it can have a calming effect on the child. I can easily mm-hmm. see that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, well, thank you so much. Sorry, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I'd love you to, if you would be willing to, explain the second step of parental intelligence, which is self-reflecting.
Yeah. Self-reflecting comes naturally after stepping back, because once you step back, you're kind of in a place where you're in a thinking mode. And it entails thinking about your feelings and your reactions to the situation. So you're allowed to take time with yourself as a parent. We don't have too much time, so I'm going to condense this a little bit. Clive's mm-hmm. dad realized that since Clive was an infant, he was less robust than his twin brother. And mm-hmm. Dad took a back seat to his care, leaving Clive to his wife. And as the years rolled by, that pattern continued. And Dad was actually closer to Ari. So reflecting on his feelings in the present situation, Dad realized that Clive was distant before and after his business trips. When Dad would come home from his trip, Ari would run up and hug him, and Clive would quietly walk out of the room. That would be just one example. And Dad had to face his feelings, that he himself was feeling rebuffed and rejected by Clive. And this was a lot for Dad to take in, you know, that,
sure.
that he was having this kind of reaction himself. And he then went the next step, which is very clever and insightful. If he felt rejected, he wondered if that was a clue to how Clive felt, too. When parents come to grips with how they feel, those feelings are clues, they're signals they actually let you in on what the child might feel, because what you feel might be created by what the child is doing, and the child might actually be experiencing a similar feeling. You don't know for sure, but it puts you in the right place to start thinking about it.
Okay.
Furthermore, Clive's dad had 6 brothers when he was growing up, and they were a real roughhousing bunch and had to take care of themselves pretty much. Both their parents worked. And Clive was absolutely not like that. And Dad began to feel ashamed that he resented Clive for not being more of a super outgoing type of guy like himself. And once again, that was really, we have to give Dad a lot of credit to realize, you know, he was feeling ashamed of wanting his son to be a certain way instead of accepting him how he was.
Right, right.
So Dad was much more ready now to believe that the hitting had meaning. And he was ready to take the next step. This is a really good dad.
Oh, wow, yeah. I can certainly see that, since he was willing to take the third step. So now I'd love for you to talk about the third step of parental intelligence, understanding your child's mind. And we'd love to know more of what this boy was really going through.
Yes, okay, I'm happy to tell you. This step was the crux of the matter for Clive and Dad. And it opened Dad's eyes to what was Clive's point of view about his life at that time. And understanding your child's point of view is crucial to parental intelligence.
Absolutely.
One day, when Clive was supposed to be doing his reading homework, Dad happened to see he was making a picture on the computer instead. On my blog, you can actually see the picture, but for now, it's enough to say that when Dad asked to see the picture on the computer, which he was really surprised about. He didn't even know that Clive could do this on the computer, you know, use a painting application. So this dialogue ensued when Dad was looking at the picture. Dad was standing by the computer, I should say. Dad says, can I take a peek at your painting? And Clive shuts the computer down and says, I can't show you. You'll be mad at me. And Dad says, I don't get mad at you. I promise I won't be mad at you about a painting. I never get mad at you. Clive shows him. He takes a risk. And he says, Dad, and here's the picture. So Dad says, I see you and me. What am I doing? Can you tell me? Clive said, you are going away for a long time. Now Dad's curious and getting a little worried. And he says, okay, where am I going? And Clive says, I don't know. You're going away because I'm bad. My teacher thinks I'm bad. Then Clive climbs on Dad's lap, something he absolutely never does. They don't have that kind of rapport. Dad feels really close to his son now. And he says to him, why does the teacher think you're bad? And Clive says, because, in a kind of timid voice, because I hit Ari. That's really bad. That's really bad, Daddy. And you went away, far away. Then Dad starts putting two and two together, and he says, Clive, do you think I went away because you hit Ari? And Clive says, surprisingly, no. You went away because I can't read. You like smart boys like Ari who can read. Now Dad understood what was on Clive's mind. And he realized, I mean, these boys were just in kindergarten, so reading was, Ari was, you know, a precocious reader. Clive was just a regular kid. So Dad decided he had to be very clear, and he clarified, and this is what he said. Clive, I went away to make money for all of us, not because you don't read yet. I never go away because I don't like you. I love you. Lots of kids don't read in kindergarten. It's not a race to see who can read first. You're such a great son. So this was an amazing development. You know, the way a child's mind can put things together in these unfortunate ways led him to the behavior of hitting. And one would never have known. I mean, a typical parent would have just punished the kid for hitting. And it would have continued. The parents and the child would have been more distant from each other. The child may have been resentful. But instead, Dad makes this amazing discovery about Clive actually thinking his father went away because he was a bad kid because he couldn't read.
Wow, that's amazing. what kids just think, and then their way of thinking just manifests, you know, their behaviors manifest that way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, wow, that's very sad, and it's also very, you know what, this kind of thing I'm sure is very common.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I'd love to know more about the story by telling, could you tell us about the fourth step of parental intelligence, understanding your child's development?
Mm-hmm. In this step, the parent clarifies if there are any problems in the child's stage of development. And this doesn't have to do with chronological
mm-hmm.
age, your birthday
right.
age. It has to do with your developmental stage, which can
right.
run all over the place in this age group. And that could be causing problems. But for Clive, that really wasn't the case. He made friends easily. He mastered kindergarten skills. He was well-liked. This wasn't a problem. So it wasn't that the parents, quite the opposite, the parents weren't expecting too much of him. It was Clive
right.
who was expecting too much of him.
Because of his brother.
Yeah, because of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But in other instances, if I gave you a different example, you might see a situation where a parent expected something of a child because they thought they should be at that point, and the child has a disability, let's say,
yeah.
and the parents are getting mad at the kid for not doing it, doing whatever is they're asked to do, and the child can't do it. So, and the child needs extra help and understanding, not judgment and criticism. So that's where this step comes into play with other kinds of examples.
Okay. I see. That makes a lot of sense because that's actually very true. A lot of times every kid is unique, first of all. Every child is unique. They're all going to develop differently. Even if they don't have a disability, they're all going
to
develop on different levels.
Yeah,
they all have different skills and weaknesses. So, yeah, no, absolutely. So now I'd love to know more about the fifth as well as the last step of parental intelligence, which is problem solving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, once Dad knew Clive's mixed-up conclusions that
mm-hmm.
had led him to be jealous of his brother's relationship with his father and his belief that his father was disappointed or even mad at him, there was no more talk of hitting. It just stopped. It wasn't even an issue. I mean, it was just totally forgotten. It vanished. And that's often what happens with parental intelligence, that initial misbehavior that is sort of a catalyst for the process to begin, in an odd way can be viewed as an opportunity. It's really a catalyst for change and a catalyst for communication. And that's exactly what happened here. And hitting was forgotten. And he was never a bad kid. He was a confused and distressed child, but he was really a great kid. So hitting had a great deal of meaning, and Dad got to the bottom of it. So the bigger underlying problem that they really had to work on became apparent, which was Clive and Dad's relationship. So Dad began, mm-hmm. and this is the problem solving, Dad began spending more time with Clive, engaging him with his brother as a team, not a competitor. So they
mm-hmm.
go out, play a little basketball or something like that, and they were a team. They were competing against themselves to do better, but not against each other. And
right.
he spent a lot more time alone with Clive as they got to know each other. They went bike riding. He learned more about Clive's interest in the computer, and he started to actually get to know his son, which he really hadn't before. And this was
mm-hmm.
all the result of parental intelligence. It's pretty amazing stuff.
That's amazing. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Dr. Holman, I'd love to know if there's any other tips you'd like to give or anything else you'd like to share.
Well, it's an interesting thing that I've been writing about lately, which is
mm-hmm.
does gender have an effect on parental intelligence?
Oh,
and,
okay.
I've read a lot of research that talks about how there are some gender differences between mothers and fathers, though they're
mm-hmm.
changing rapidly because the world is changing rapidly, and mothers and fathers
right.
are taking on a very broad spectrum of roles, which didn't happen decades ago.
No.
And that while some researchers say that gender does have certain effects, I don't have time to kind of list them off, others say that it's really more the nurturing relationship that the parent has with the child, so that if both parents are, or single parents, but mother or father are engaged quite a bit with their child, you know, listening to them, hearing their opinions, talking with them, reading with them, that leads to effective parenting.
Okay.
And conversation is a very big point that I always make.
Communication is key.
Yeah, you know, we're so busy.
Yeah.
Kids are so scheduled these days.
Yeah.
That it's really helpful to just sit down and have a snack and talk about
right.
anything. Not about problems, but just about what you
anything.
Do today. What friend do you like? What's your favorite thing for dinner? Just
right.
getting to know your child and the things they think about. And kids have lots of opinions and ideas.
Oh, they do.
And
they
we
do.
Don't find them out because we're so busy organizing their day and their night. And
yes.
so we have to make
yes.
sure that, you know, we instead of putting the dishes away, we sit down and say, you know, what'd you think about that show that we just watched on TV? What'd you think the character felt? And all of that starts to build empathy in the kid and the parent. So those are my little suggestions.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Those are great. And finally, how can people reach you? And could you tell us more about your new book, like when it's going to be released
yes.
and where people will be able to purchase it?
Yeah, yeah. It's called Unlocking Parental Intelligence, Finding Meaning
mm-hmm.
in Child's Behavior. And it's being published by Familius Press in California. And
mm-hmm.
it will be released on October 13th. And you can get it through Familius.com, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, regular bookstores. You know, it'll be everywhere. And it'll be in print, as well as you'll be able to get it as an e-book.
Great, great. On Kindle?
Yeah, on Kindle. And
okay.
If people want to reach me, the easiest way to reach me, like if you really have a very specific question you want to ask me, you can go to my website and there's a contact navigator button and you can write to me and I will most diligently write back to you.
Wonderful.
And if there are things that you want me to write, that parents want me to write about in my blog, certain topics that they need more information on or suggestions about or just what to think about, just tell me and I'll write about it. You know, I'm very happy to do that. I'm writing all the time. And it's
That's
my pleasure.
Great. And what is your website? Could you tell us
oh, yes.
what your website
is? http://
mm-hmm.
Laurie Holman, PhD, all small letters, LaurieHolman.com. And you'll see there you have the opportunity to see my biography, my blog, my publications, you know, whatever interests you.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Holman. It was such a pleasure having you on. You provided us a lot with a lot of really, really wonderful information. And best of luck with your new book.
Thank you so much.
All right. And after this, there's going to be a blog post coming out, which is going to have all this information just ready for the readers, and then they can access your information through there as well.
That's good. Thank you very much, Miriam. I think what
Thank
you're
you.
Doing is wonderful. You know,
Thank
giving
you.
Parents a chance to learn on this radio.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Okay, you have yourself a wonderful rest of the week. Have a great weekend, and talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.